lovely cushion header. But Gerrard! You beauty! What a headshot! What a hit! Well, you take a tap in these circumstances. What you have seen.
G'day and welcome to the LFC Podcasting Couch. We're back on the original couch. Is that right, Pete?
The one that started it all?
The one that started it all.
But this is a bed.
This is a bed. It's actually got no sheets on it either. It's a spinal rest rest maker. I don't know.
Why are there no sheets, George?
I don't know. It seems like a crazy thing to do. It seems like, you know, is George okay? Yeah, he's torn the sheets off the bed. It's not even my bed.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Whose bed is this?
This is the spare room.
Oh, it's a spare room.
That's why it's crazy. It's like, what's George been doing? He's been going into other bedrooms, ripping the sheets off.
A bloody mess.
And there's a bed. There's a bed frame on the other wall. What's George been doing? He's been taking bed frames, putting them into rooms.
And the pillows on the floor?
There's pillows on the floor. There's a guitar that doesn't work in the corner. And we, all the while, we're on a couch. That's the magic of radio, of podcast, of listening.
Just picture a massive, big, red couch.
Couch. Just like the icon for the LFC podcasting couch thing. It sort of looks like a couch.
Yeah.
That's been cut off at the sides. This is episode 103.
Yes, 103.
103. We're finally back onto the numbers because we're doing some couch shows, which is good. Over here in Sydney, Australia. It's a nice day, finally. Spring, I mean, God, we've had some cold days here in spring.
Well, we've had a good winter, let's be honest.
We've had a good winter. We just got punished a little bit. My voice sounds a little bit weird because I've had the flu recently, so that's why I might be a little bit sniffy.
I was actually a little bit disappointed, George, to be honest with you.
Why?
Because when you said you won't be able to pod today, I was a little bit upset because obviously we're back on the couch.
Yeah.
And
so I changed my mind.
And to be honest, you know what the rules are, right? You know the old saying?
What's the old saying?
If you can breathe, you can pod.
If you can breathe, you can pod. I can't breathe. I was about to tell you, I sound like the guy from Hey Arnold. You know the one that sneaks up on Helga?
Something like Bane.
And then she'd like bash him. You know Helga with the one eyebrow that yes. loved, hey, football head. I sound like that weird thing.
Look, as long as you can breathe, you can pod.
Okay. And it's not like Bane.
Bane.
Boom. Yeah, I'm going to cough now. Well, okay, it's enough. Enough
jibber-jabber.
Enough jibber-jabber. We're here to talk about, basically, we're in the lead-up to the Manchester City game. And we've just come off the back of an international break that lasted around 3 years.
Yeah.
I feel older. I feel like I've...
Wiser.
I feel wiser. And
proud.
Yeah.
Thanks to... The Prince of Wales.
The Prince of Wales. Yeah, that's the new nickname.
That's the name.
It's cool. The new nickname is cool. It's nice. But yeah, so we thought we'd talk about basically just do a little bit of a roundup on the week's events. Talk a little bit about some issues that came up on Twitter that flared up that really hit a nerve with Pete and I, mainly. With local fans versus overseas fans. So we might give that a bit of an address. I think we always do on the couch. I think Nish is very passionate about that as well. We'll give it a good right go as well as two locals here from Australia. Then we just get straight on to City. And we've got an announcement for the Australian Reds for those who want to be travelling.
Yes.
But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, at the end.
So you have to listen to the whole show.
The whole pod. To get the special message at the end.
Yes. But it is something to do with, you did go into Cheers Bar, something along those lines. But, you know, just in case you want a bit of a teaser now, Cheers Bar in Sydney, but, you know.
Will be massive.
It'll be massive. But why don't we just get straight into, let's give them drama.
Yeah.
Let's give the listeners drama.
Let's do it.
Saying day trippers makes it sound like we're talking about the podcast, but the day trippers, they coined that term because... They do go to the game for the day. You know, Australians don't necessarily go for the day. They try and go for a week or two, but they are sort of day trippers. It's the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
But let's just call it overseas supporters versus local supporters. It flared up on Twitter. Obviously, it was an absolute idiot who brought it up, and we should... You never use a Twitter troll as the basis, as a basis for any argument. But it did bring up the age old debate, and we both you and I have had our fair share of discussions with local fans, and it can get a little bit frustrating.
It gets frustrating because who are they to say you're not a real fan or you're not welcome or whatever it is?
I can play devil's advocate here as well, and really the listeners will hate me for it. But yeah,
well, there's a reason they can say that.
Well, look, you keep going, and then I can give you the devil's advocate stuff, and then you can rebut me and destroy me.
Well, again, we're born and we live literally halfway across the world. On the other side of the world, that's we live in this nice little island called Australia, all the way at the bottom of the world, right? We are massive Liverpool fans. We're not lucky enough to be, obviously, in Liverpool to watch Liverpool play. But our fathers, so that's why I go for Liverpool, because my father went for Liverpool. And so since the age of 5, I've been a Liverpool fan. So growing up, idolising this team and your heroes that have worn the red shirt, you know, Robbie Fowler, Steven Gerrard, Fernando Torres, Javi Alonso, whoever they are, Jamie Carragher, they've all worn the red shirt, and it's your dream to watch them play. Not just your dream to watch them play, but it's your dream. You idolise and you fantasise and you save up all these thousands and thousands of dollars to go and sing You'll Never Walk Alone at Anfield. It's a bucket list for every Liverpool fan. So let's say for a whole year we've worked, we've saved our money, we've gone and we've had, you know, what is it, 6,000-7,000 minimum more. We finally can go to Liverpool, finally. You're in Anfield. You're watching whoever they verse, doesn't matter who they're versing, it's a home match. Before you sing You'll Never Walk Alone, some moron next to you, because he's born 15 minutes down the road, wants to give you, what, the cold shoulder and the dirty looks, and then he wants to give you the speech, oh, you're not a real fan or whatever it is. That's just ruined somebody's trip. Now, if somebody said that to me, I'd knock them straight out. That's a fact. So if you're listening, and I will possibly be there in December, please say I'm not welcome there, or I don't belong, I'm not a real fan, because I will knock you straight the fuck out. Fact. First time I've sworn on a pod.
Wow.
Because I will break your teeth. Say that to me. I guarantee it. So that's, you can't, you just can't.
The one thing I always try and play devil's advocate, because I use it as a defense mechanism to think about how I would defend against what they're going to say to me.
Yeah.
So the one thing I can think of is support your own local clubs. Why don't you support, you know, but it's sort of hard because, you know, in Australia, we did have the NSL, but it sort of disbanded and there wasn't a league that we could follow. There was the A-League sort of coming up 2004. But, you know, some countries aren't lucky enough to have that. But again, the argument will be, well, support local stuff. You know, that's basic. I can't think of any other devil's advocate thing.
But we do support the local stuff. I go to A-League matches, but the A-League is only 12 years old.
Mm.
The Premier League is, Liverpool is, how many years?
125 years this year.
There you go. It's one of those things where you can't compare the two.
Mm.
And if I've been going for Liverpool for 21 years.
Tough luck. You weren't born in Liverpool.
If I've been going for Liverpool for 21 years and I can only support the A-League for a maximum of 5 years, that 6 years that I have been supporting it, you can't, I don't know, these people.
So I had a discussion. So I was watching Liverpool versus Everton at Cheers once upon a time, and an Everton supporter was just having, he's in Australia. I'm like, why are you having it? He's like, I bet you've never been to Liverpool before, he says to me. I said, yeah, I have been to a game. You know, he's just like, oh, you know, going on about, yeah, you choose Liverpool because they're the best team and whatnot. I said, I've been going for them since I was 8 years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had my reasons for choosing him, for the history and for the passion of the, you know, the supporters and all the reasons that, you know, Liverpool supporters have. And he was sort of saying that he just had, it was the chip on the shoulder, especially for an Everton supporter, to sort of see a foreign person going for a Liverpool club that's not Everton. It was sort of insulting to him. So he really had a go at me. And then I said to him, who do you see on this? Who was... Like, he had a Tim Cahill jersey on.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, who have you got on your back of your jersey? He says, Tim Cahill. I'm like, when international clubs like your club, Everton, and my club, Liverpool, employ the services of Australians like Tim Cahill,
Harry Kewell,
and then others.
Craig.
If you're going to put a whole Craig who are we going to say?
Johnson.
Oh, Craig Johnson. Oh, yeah. Oh, see, in the back, in the past. It's exactly. But Craig Johnson's been going on for ages. When your club wants to employ international players, don't you dare scoff when international supporters come and support your club. And I would say that now moving that Everton supporter aside, now going back to a local Liverpool supporter in the ground having a go at us.
Yeah.
What jersey you got on there? Mane. Take it off. Even Woodburn. He's now a Welsh international.
Take it off.
Take it off. If they're not from Liverpool, then you can't support the club because you're supposed to be supporting anything from your hometown.
Yeah.
If a club is going to employ the services of international players and have Liverpool starting 11, one of these, I'm pretty sure I only had one or two English players. We're even talking about it. I talked about it as a negative because I really want us to have more homegrown players because of the quota.
Yeah.
But there are going to be instances this year where we're not going to have any English players in the starting lineup. Excuse me, but fully expect to have how many nationalities you got in your starting lineup? Expect that many supporters. Otherwise, one or the other. You can't have it both ways. That's my big argument. And that always seems to shut people up whenever I use Harry Kewell for Liverpool because there was a moment where Harry Kewell was fashionable and, you know, it was a good thing. And now it's like, oh, who cares about Harry Kewell? You can keep him, you know, but you just bring up Craig Johnson. That's one of the earliest exports.
Champions League winner, FA Cup winner.
Yeah. Or imports, you would say, for Liverpool. Yeah. They were one of the first to sort of, not one of the first, but, you know.
And being an Australian, that's why a lot of Aussies turn their head to Liverpool.
Because they employed, I mean, look at it from the base, you know, the root of it. They employed the services of an Aussie to help them win games because they...
And it worked.
They thought maybe we... Of course, they could have won the games already, but they said, this guy's going to help us win.
Look, and that's a fact, by the way, going on that player, Johnson. There, my dad went for Liverpool because of him. Because
he's the Aussie. There you
go. So, and then obviously, then it passed on through me and the rest. But how many times have you watched a Liverpool match on TV, home match? And you look in the stands, you see a Spanish flag when Torres was playing. You see
the Belgian flag.
You see, yes.
You know, in the Kop, there's the Belgian flag that's been there as long. I've been watching Liverpool for more than 20 years, yeah. I should say. That's been going on in the background.
Now we see Brazilian flags. I wonder why. You see Uruguayan flag when Suarez was with us. And you're going to go up to these people and say, please don't. I remember when we had Kyriakos playing for Liverpool, there was a Greek flag in the stands. Well, you're going to go up to these people, please take your flag down.
Yeah.
Your flag doesn't belong here.
Imagine going to Luis Suarez and then bringing Suarez into that scenario and then saying, in front of Luis Suarez, can you please tell this Uruguayan fan to go home? Because he doesn't have a right to support Liverpool because he's not a local fan.
Look, how much is an airfare from Australia to England? About $2,500? $2,500?
I'm trying to get FS to the States, and I'm getting into the $2,000 mark. So
I've been to Liverpool now eight times. Eight times $2,500. And that's just airfares. Let's throw in accommodation, throw in the ticket prices, throw in the jersey purchases and everything else I used to purchase when I was there. It's close to $30,000 I've spent just to watch Liverpool play. And then I tweeted this the other day. I think you saw it. You liked and retweeted it. My adventure to Basel.
Yeah.
For the Europa League final 2 years ago, whatever it was. It was just $5,500 for an airfare and a ticket. I didn't have accommodation. So me and my best mate, we went together. We slept in an emergency stairwell of a hotel we snuck into because we couldn't afford accommodation and we couldn't get anything within 20 kilometers of the city. Now, for those who went, would back that up because they were there and they knew what it was like. So we were on in the actual country of Switzerland for 32 hours. We were in the air flying there and back for 56, whatever it was. Just to watch a final and hopefully watch the Reds win. So when you go watch a game, you don't even know they're going to win. We took the chance that they would win. And we'd be able to see a special moment in the history of Liverpool.
My poor mate went to a game. Sorry, but he just reminded me. He went to a game and they lost 3-0. And he spent all his money to go all the way to a game. You don't go for them to win. Yeah. But, you know, that was his experience. And he's got photos of him and he's loved it. And he goes, this is the best day of my life. They lost 3-0.
Yeah.
It was during the Hodgson era. How awful. Oh, you know, that's what we have to deal with. Yeah. These are the risks that we have to take.
But credit to some of the fans that were there, because I had a lot of conversations with them, you know, obviously in the pubs and walking around. Oh, where are you from? You know. And I actually tell them, from Australia, we've done this, we've done that, and we've actually got nowhere to sleep. We actually didn't even have bags with us.
Mm.
So whatever clothes we left in, we came back in.
Mm.
And they're like, oh, my God. Like, you know, there was praise. There was wow. There was this. I would never do that if it was the other way. If the shoe was under the foot, I probably would never do that.
Yeah.
And these are the fans that, you know, you enjoy sitting down with.
And I think it's important. I think it's important to also to make that point, because that is the majority of Liverpool supporters in the city.
100%.
And my experiences in Liverpool I've never had a bad experience in Liverpool. It's usually sort of been, it's sort of probably in Australia, like I said, with that Everton supporter, possibly over Twitter, you know, which is, they're just trolls anyway, so you're never going to, you know. But the large majority, I mean, Liverpool is a European city. They feel that they are, they're not.
In 2008, it was the European city culture
of capital. Yeah, well, I thought it was even, like, later than that. I thought it was...
I know, because I was there in 2008 when...
Because I feel like, because I was there in 2011. I was there in 2011 and it had it up there as well.
Remember Gerrard wore the 08 shirt that year with us, Everton got sent off?
Who got?
Gerrard.
He had the what? The 08?
He wore...
Yeah, the 08.
08 on the back of his shirt.
Yep. But yeah, the large majority of supporters embrace with open arms.
Of course.
Because they are, you know, like we said, European city and... very welcoming of overseas supporters. So that's very important to say as well. Only a small majority that do this.
And they probably think they're important, and they're probably upset that they're not important, and they're trying to make themselves feel important because they've got shit lives or whatever it is. But, you know, there's no need for that. There really isn't.
I mean, speaking of international travel and international, you know, flights and whatnot, we've got all of our internationals coming back, and we're
fully fit.
We're preparing for Manchester City, and they're all fully fit.
Injury free. Wow. Even Sturridge.
And he played as well. Yeah. Did he play? He came on the field.
Oh, he entered the field. But the fact is, he's injury free.
Hmm.
And even Henderson for at the moment, the way he's been going. So good news.
So it's a good segue onto the next part of the show, which is basically just, you know, doing a quick little international roundup of we basically just did it then, you know, of the players that have come back. And it was just a good international break in general. I think we never want to experience a break, especially when we do pump Arsenal 3-0, but I think it was a good international break. 4-0. It was 4, wasn't it? Jesus Christ. That's the flu talking. But you know, it's, you never want the break, but I think it was, I think we should have had it. I think it was good. And now coming off the other side of it, no injuries, great boosts of morale for Robertson, for Woodburn, for Gomez in particular. Phil Coutinho showed that he still has the fitness despite the sore back.
And the magic.
The magic, in inverted commas. Bobby Firmino got on for Brazil, so he's pretty happy.
Did really well. I watched the match.
Klavan actually played against Greece, which we would have been upset about because they drew against Estonia.
In a must-win match.
Yeah. And Klavan played really well.
Yeah.
He played very, very well. So that's also good for, you know, our third centre-back option, our much maligned third centre-back option. This is like, that's the spot that should be Van Dijk's, but now we have to make do, as they say, with Klavan. But it's been, the major thing is no injuries. We've had a bit of a break. Coutinho's had some time to sort of get a little bit happy again, and he's back. And
With all smiles. The photos are back.
The Instagram's back.
Stories are back. And Moreno and him seem to be in love again.
What was his story? What was Coutinho's story that he put up? Just him doing that loop with Moreno?
There was that, and then there was a couple of days ago when he was still in Brazil, some musician stuff. But he wasn't even doing that when he was linked to leave with us. So there was nothing there. At least now there was... There's something, like, he's active again.
He's active. We thought it was a bit weird. I called that.
And the training pictures look good. I mean, I guess that's their job. The photographer's job is to make it look like everything's perfect. But at the same time, it does look...
He's got Moreno next to him, man. He's going to make him laugh.
Yeah, but even, like, you know, you got...
Moreno's a clown.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Just show him his monkey tattoo.
But then they've got Emre Can put up a picture as well. And Coutinho's in the picture. And it looks like there's a healthy environment still there. And I believe there is. I don't care what Twitter says, I don't care what other people say, I still believe that the environment within the training camp, now that he's back, is still positive and it's still where it was at the Arsenal match, where we've left off.
I do want to do a little bit of a, because just coming off the international break and moving into the City game, I just want to do a quick little comment about Ben Woodburn, because it's, we like looking at it technically at players. We've talked about this off air. And then on air, whenever we do discussions, yeah, we like getting technical about it.
Yeah.
Everything from the shape of the foot to the follow through to the, how do they position their body? How do they jockey? All this stuff. I want to know how good Woodburn can get given what we can see from him technically, physically as a footballer. He's only 17. So, well, I mean, he's such a strange footballer to analyze because he doesn't have the blistering pace. He doesn't have the unbelievable, like, dribbling Brazilian style flair, Joga Bonito style of, you know, dribbling and whatnot. He doesn't have a Steven Gerrard rocket whip shot. Doesn't take set pick. There's not like, if we were to put this into FIFA terms, he doesn't have a special trait, you know, if we're looking at it in terms of FIFA, but he's 17. I mean, how many players have a special trait, so to speak, when they're 17?
I can tell you what my special trait was when I was 17.
What was that, heading?
No. What? It was UGs.
What?
It was a sock and some Vaseline. That was
right. I know. When we're 17, my God.
So,
what was I doing when I was 17? I was an idiot. But yeah, so I don't know. We haven't prepared for this. We haven't talked about this off air.
No.
We're not prepared of what we're going to say because he's. I think it's a bit of a phenomenon with Woodburn, and that's a good thing. What's he going to be good at? Can we predict what's? It just seems like he's an all rounder. It just seems like his special trait is his great ability to, at any stage of the game, do something brilliantly that you didn't know he was brilliant at. And I'll give you an example. I mean, for Wales this year, this week past, he scored that belter.
Yeah.
Against, can't remember the team. Okay. Sounds like Belarus. I reckon it's Belarus, but maybe not. Who knows? I'll check it on the phone.
We'll just say that country.
We'll say that country. Insert country. But we've seen him score that type of goal. Remember in preseason, he scored that left foot when he dragged the ball aside and he scored left foot cracker.
Didn't he score for Wales with his right as well?
He scored with his right foot again for Wales.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Then for Liverpool, he scored with his left. Yeah. Was it against Atletico? No. Was it?
Oh, you got
possibly.
Moving on. I know what you're saying though. I remember the goal.
Yeah. So he can hit from distance. We didn't say he had blistering pace, but his assist for Wales, burst past his fullback with just a burst of pace.
Decent whip.
Whip across with his left foot again. So he's two-footed. When we've seen him in the League Cup for Liverpool, ghosting in, he's never tracked with his runs. So he's got intelligence in terms of he knows where to be on the pitch. So up in his mind, we know that that's a thing. I remember in a League Cup game, ball drops to him and he has the confidence to turn and the back turn. You know what I'm talking about? The back.
The spin.
The spin back turn. In the box, and he doesn't get his shot off. I can't remember who it is, who's against. I'm just rattling off skills now, to try and pigeonhole what he can become.
The thing I think the most important thing with Ben is that I think Klopp needs to find him a position that he specialises in.
Left, right, out. I think anywhere it seems.
I think he needs to find him a home because you don't want. For example, I'm not going to compare him to this player, but I'm just going to use his name anyway. But you don't want to have the Oxlade-Chamberlain treatment where he's a right wing back, left wing back, and then he's a striker. Then you don't want that. You want him to find a home. And I think what's helping him at the moment is that he's just this kid running on adrenaline, and he's just brave because he knows that anything he does is just going to be great. He's just got that bravery and the courage and just fearless. He's fearless. That run that assist for Wales was a fearless run. He lined up his defender, squared him up, and he said, "Come on, then." And he's gone.
Mm.
Next thing you know, he's been whipped it in. Robson Kanu.
There was. I'm trying to think of the player that was starting to Teixeira, and to an extent Sousa, but Sousa may have been a little bit before. But with Teixeira especially, you saw him developing similar traits to Coutinho.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how much longer we're going to have Coutinho at the club, at least for the next year. It seems like Woodburn's been put in the left centre mid position.
Yeah.
So when you're saying find him a home, I think one of the best things that Woodburn can do is to tag along with Coutinho and just milk as much as he can, because I think age 17 to maybe 24, you're still learning new traits. You're still learning abilities. Jordan Henderson never hit the driving crossfield pass that he does now. I think Steven Gerrard, watching Gerrard, taught him how to do that.
Yeah.
In my opinion. So one thing that we can hope for the future is, I mean, Coutinho couldn't do the stuff he's doing now when he was 17. So one thing we can hope for the future is maybe Woodburn can develop into a Coutinho-style player. Who knows? Maybe Klopp's telling Woodburn, watch him, watch what he does.
As an understudy.
Yeah. Can you see Woodburn becoming as quick as what? Are you wearing badoffles?
Yeah, I am. I'm wearing slippers. I'm wearing slippers, everyone. Because George lives 3 minutes away from my house and I came in slippers. And I like these slippers, George. You just broke conversation.
I'm so sorry. I had to. Sorry. So is it unbelievable to think that he could follow in Coutinho's footsteps?
That's not unbelievable because, like I said,
he's different players.
So young and raw that you can mould him, and he's got that ability to run a defence. He can find a pass. He's quick. He's intelligent. So you can say yes, he can be the understudy for Coutinho. Can he be as good as Coutinho? Don't know. Time will tell. But like I said, I think the sooner we find him a place where he can develop and that make that position his own, instead of us spending 90 million on Thomas Lemar, we can have Ben Woodburn, which I'm so happy we didn't sign Thomas Lemar for 90 million, to be honest with you.
No, yeah, that means would have been silly.
All of a sudden, Ben Woodburn falls down the pecking order and then falls down and then falls down. We don't need that. He's obviously got something about him. There's something there. So let's unearth it. Like, Lamar's only 21. What makes him 90 million? I don't know. I hate this transfer market, to be honest. But yeah. So Ben Woodburn, by the time he's 20, if he's going.
That's 3 years away. I'm going to be like 40 years old, mate.
But if he's going at the rate that he's going now, international goals, things like that, he should be worth 600 billion.
600 billion?
Yeah. Easy.
Billion.
Trillion.
Trillion.
It's just it's just the way it's going, and it's sad, to be honest, but I don't know, man.
Well, mate, you're the one putting up you're giving them ideas now.
Yeah, I know, but
billions and trillions of dollars.
Give us the money.
Okay, well, I think that's enough for international. It was Austria, by the way. It wasn't Belarus. Okay. I don't know why I said Belarus. But, I mean, there was good performances from Joe Gomez as well. But, you know, considering we want to just, you know, constantly keep everyone's mind at ease at centre-back, I think it's just good to see that Joe Gomez, arguably at centre-back, is he performing? Is that where he's playing for the under-21s?
I'm just happy he's – I think it was under-23s he got man of the
match. Sorry, 23s. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm just happy he's playing, and he's playing really well, because I think, like I said in a few pods ago, the fans forgot how good he was when we first signed him and how good he was under Rodgers playing at that left-back or left centre-back position that he was playing. And I think we've kind of – I don't know. We kind of ignored and forgot how good he was during the injury. We just got frustrated in our defensive problems, and we kind of said, oh, get rid of Gomez. We just kind of...
The knee jerks.
Yeah, we just targeted him for some reason. And now that he's back to fully fit, fully healthy and all these things, and he's playing regular football, and all of a sudden now you go back on Twitter again and everyone's like, yeah, Joe Gomez, you know, thank God he's back. And
You can't look at Twitter. You can't look at it. They're crazy. They're now, idiots.
Just like all of a sudden, Emre Can is the best midfielder in the world. If you go on Twitter, the Liverpool fans are now Emre Can.
Did we just say the Twitter thing? You can't go on Twitter?
But let's go back to our pods. Go back 10, 15 pods ago when we were putting our necks out for Emre Can.
Yeah. Now he's the best midfielder.
And we were actually getting a bit of stick back. But there was you got no idea. I remember putting out starting 11, starting Emre Can over Wijnaldum, and everyone's, what are you doing? You know, how can you do that? Now all of a sudden, please give him a new contract.
I think the main thing is
that's funny.
Is that Jurgen Klopp, and I wrote a piece about this. Jurgen Klopp is all about patience, and someone actually, you know, I've been saying this for a long time, but someone articulated it really well in that, and I pretty much said the same thing in the piece as well, which is, Jurgen Klopp has a plan. He wants to win the title in his own way. He doesn't care how long we've been waiting to win the title.
Yeah.
And for all these things and for the getting all these players. Last season, he would have been happy to come fourth. When we were coming second, he was like, or first, he was going, this is better than expected. But it's ahead of schedule. He sees everything. He's always thinking of the next part of the jigsaw. We made the Champions League. The next part is to consolidate Champions League. This year is always going to be about consolidating Champions League. But all this leads to this one overarching point of patience. Patience. Joe Gomez. It took him a year to get back to full fitness. He shit, get rid of him. Jurgen Klopp says, be patient. Now he's back. People love him again. Emre Can had a calf injury. Jurgen Klopp said, be patient. He's got a calf injury. No, he's shit. A year later, he's the best midfielder in the world. Be patient. It's just, I think that's the overarching message for all Liverpool supporters. Just give it, if you have an impulse, give it a sec.
Think about it.
Give it a sec. And then maybe give it two, three, four games.
Like even people are still trying to find a way to smash Karius against Arsenal.
Give him a sec. Give him a year.
It was a clean sheet, regardless of the silly decision to how quickly he cleared the ball in some moments of the match, which I agree with, by the way. But at the end of the day, it's rustiness too. He needs to play.
Yeah.
If you're playing one every 10 games, you can't have consistency. It's impossible. So did he keep a clean sheet? Yes. Did we win 4-0? Yes. Did he do majority of his job? Yes. Just relax.
Coming up to the end of the international break, people, we do have Coutinho.
Yeah.
So just before we get into Man City, we can talk about the magician coming back. He was all smiles. Again, like we said, back with his old mate Moreno. What's your opinion on whether we accept him back into the starting 11 immediately, or it seems like Klopp is probably not too keen to unsteady the ship, but there's a certain chemistry that's established now, and he's probably thinking he doesn't walk straight back in.
He doesn't walk straight back in. And look, any team with Coutinho in it is a stronger team, and that's obvious. That's just, whatever it is. But he doesn't walk straight back in, but at the same time, we can't forget that he's there. I think what's going to happen, and what I will do personally, I put him on the bench against City. I tweeted this today. I'll put him on the bench. Put him on the bench. Even if he's not going to play, so Jurgen Klopp's head, he's not playing. Put him on the bench. You want to know why? Man City, all of a sudden, look at the team sheet. Oh, Coutinho's there. And then all of a sudden, they're thinking about now, like, at some point in the match, they're thinking, Coutinho. He could be coming on. When's he coming on? Is he going to come on? And then the focus is off. So all of a sudden, Pep's thinking in one of his, instead of having the original game plan, it's now he's going to have a side plan for Coutinho. And it's just a distraction more than anything, really. And it's good for the fans, I think, as well. I don't care, snake this, snake that. I think the fans would want to see Coutinho on the field.
Suarez came straight back into the side after his... I mean, he had the... He missed the Stoke game.
Yeah.
Because I was there.
And his first game back was against United, I believe, after the massive ban, wasn't it?
No, he didn't play. I don't think he played the United game either.
He scored. We lost 2-1, I think it was.
No, I'm talking about the 1-0 at home. But yes, no, the first game he played was the League Cup match. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But it's one of those ones where, I don't know, man. Look, I think I'd keep him on the bench, don't play. I think it's always good. And plus, it's good for our players to know that you've got Coutinho back in your side. I think. All bullshit aside, whatever it's gone on, nothing's actually officially come out. There's been no official statements from Coutinho saying he wants to leave or whatever it is. Nothing's actually come out saying he wants to stay. But at the same time, since there's been no hardcore proof, evidence, whatever you want to call it, just get along with it now. He's back. He's back. Our best player, maybe not our most important player, that could be Mane in terms of goals and Jurgen Klopp's system and the rest. But he's our best player, Coutinho. We should be happy to have our best player back.
And it's something that you said before, which is a really good shout from you and, possibly a bad shout from me, but the management from Jurgen Klopp has proven to be 100%, 10 out of 10, the right thing to do, because even though I still don't strictly believe in it, I still do like the aspect of Mourinho's management where he'll let the fans know a little bit more about what's happening. But like you said, they don't have to let us know. We shouldn't be knowing about everything that the club's doing. Now, one thing Jurgen Klopp definitely has done, he never threw Coutinho under the bus. He never disrespected him. He never drew any attention to the transfer. And then whenever someone says to him he wasn't available because of the transfer, whatever, he goes, oh, well, I don't know about it, but, you know, with his back, he's always going back to, he's defiant.
Yeah, I love what he used to say, like, oh, then you know more than me.
Yeah, yeah. So now Klopp, with as much freedom, with no load on his chest, can freely talk about, because on LFC TV just recently, they asked him, how's Coutinho? And he goes, well, obviously he had the back injury before.
Yeah.
He can say that with confidence now, because if you now track all of his reports and interviews, he's always said it was a back injury. He never said, so he goes, what, is he okay about the back injury? Sure. The Barca speculation? Never known anything about it, me personally.
What's that? What's Barca?
What is a Barca? How do you say the Barca? So that's been very good management. And also from Coutinho's side, as much of a quote-unquote snake he might be, whatever, he never said a word.
Nope.
He never posted a picture.
Nope.
He never, nothing, nothing. Neymar saying he's so upset and this, and he's, what did they say? He's hurt and he's
and he said
very upset.
The club didn't love me or whatever it was. And
oh, who knows? Coutinho didn't say boo. So not one fan can come out and say it about Coutinho.
100%.
Nothing.
Even Ronaldinho came out today. I don't know if you saw Ronaldinho come out and said, he goes, Liverpool fans don't need to worry because Phil is the kind of person who will come back to play football and play to win and give it his all.
I think he's got the same thing that Suarez has
and
that Torres had. And then the point I want to bring up talking about that is that I think Coutinho, he's hit that point, that level where he's just better than everyone in the league.
Yeah.
And we were all wondering when it's going to happen. 25, magic age it seems to be, because Suarez was about 25 when it happened for him. 25, 27?
20, yeah, but 25, 26.
Maybe he was 26. Fernando Torres was about 24, 25 when he, you know, okay. I think he scores a hat-trick against Wolverhampton. He's just like, I'm just so much better than everyone on the field.
Gerrard's best year was the same age.
Yeah, there's just a period where players go, I'm just better than everybody. And maybe that's the decision when they go to play for an elite club. Obviously, we're hoping that Liverpool are still going to be an elite of enough club for players to stay. But Coutinho's now at that point where I think it's going to be so interesting to watch him in the Premier League this year, because he's just better than everyone.
But a lot can happen in a year too. This is what people think. Oh, but next year he's gone. No, he's not. How do you know? For example, you make the Champions League again, win an FA Cup, do a nice little run,
win the league. Win the quadruple.
Well, let's say you make the top four again. You do a nice run into the Champions League. You make the quarterfinals. You play in a final FA Cup, whatever it's going to be. And all of a sudden, things are looking, well, hang on, maybe I'm at the right place. And anything can change.
Steven Gerrard put a statement out on Liverpool website in 2005 saying, I want to leave. It had his face on it. I want to leave. And then in 24 hours, LFC.com, or was LFC.tv back then.
Yeah.
Then did the U-turn of Rick Parry saying you sign a new contract. So players can always come back.
And that's what I'm saying. So that's why I'm not getting all caught up in this. I don't think he'll play against City, but I definitely think he'll play against Sevilla.
My main point about what I said before was that it's clicked for Coutinho is that we need him. And
100%.
Look, whether he plays against City or not, on the bench, whatever, I want to see him integrated into the... Like, you know, a lot of people saying, oh, the chemistry for the club in the team is too good at the moment and Coutinho will just upset it. No, he won't. We saw what he was doing with Salah. The quicker we get Coutinho on the pitch and into that LCM role, that left center midfield role, I think I just cannot wait to see him tear apart. He's a lot better than everyone. It's just as simple as that.
But we've seen how good he is with Firmino together.
Yep.
We've seen him how good he is with Mane. Now add your other Mane on the other side in Salah. It's written for Coutinho. It's written him. It spells his name everywhere. Two fast break wingers and a centre forward that can play football. Why would you want to take your time bringing him back?
Mm. Well, speaking of, sorry.
I was going to say, let's not roll out the red carpet and
no
whatever. But at the same time, do we want to make the Champions League again? Do we want a challenge for the title? Coutinho has to play.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah. It's a matter of how quickly. So the final thing we're going to talk about is obviously the pre-City sort of lead up. We're at about 40 minutes now, so we'll do this for a little bit, and then we'll wrap it up with the cheers announcement.
Yep.
But there's one thing that I like phrasing the question in this way whenever we're talking about upcoming matches, whether it be against a team that we're playing now, a team we've played in the past, or a team that we're playing a few games in the future. But this is one thing I wanted to ask you, given that we're going into the City match. First of all, what do you think? How do you think Liverpool's going to go?
Just like a random side note, I think Kompany is injured. I think he copped a knock in the international break and he's under assessment at the moment. So
he's never played against us anyway.
But I'm just saying he's a massive figure for them and it's at home. So I don't know. But going to this match, I feel actually really, really confident. I feel confident because of our last few games that we've played there. And I feel confident because I love it when teams come to attack Liverpool.
Did we do the double against them last year? Or did we beat them at Anfield? Did we beat them?
I think we did 1-1.
Yeah.
I can't remember now.
What was the game like when we versed them? I'll check it out, but you keep going.
I know the year before that was Firmino and Emre Can.
That was the one before. That was the first. So Manchester City away sort of, it articulates Jurgen Klopp's ability to destroy teams away from home. That was the first game that we saw Jurgen Klopp destroy someone. I remember because I was in New Zealand when that game actually was being played. And I was like, Manchester City is always like the game where we go, well, this is where it started, basically.
Well, let's face it, right? That's not a scary stadium to walk into. The fan base is shit. And so I'm not really worried about an atmosphere that's going to possibly throw one of our players out. So that's get that out there in the open. Not worried there. Number two, like I said, Pep's will come to play football. Pep will obviously play football at home.
And we don't mind that.
And he will try to attack, which is what makes us, that's our strength. When teams try to attack us, it makes us stronger. So that brings me confidence. The problem is, you never know what's going to happen in our defense sometimes. And when you have such a good attacking team like Man City with your Aguero, if he's playing, Jesus, and Silva, De Bruyne, you can keep going. But when you've got those kind of players, that's the only concern I'd have, if there is one. It's those kind of players, can our defensive issues manage with these players? And again, so you bring up the Arsenal match, yeah, okay, no problem. But at the same time, they're two different teams at the moment, City and Arsenal, and City have been jagging wins in the last few minutes of the match, and they've been scraping their wins, but they've been winning. And that's what bothers me. Even Raheem Sterling scoring the other week.
Yeah.
They're finding ways to win.
So I didn't get to ask the question before. I summed it up in what do you think? But the question that I do like to ask before a game is, what can you see from our previous performances, whether it is looking at Arsenal or even if it is something like the Crystal Palace game or Watford or whatever, what from these games do you think will serve us well in the Manchester City game? So what part of our performances will serve us well in the City game? I think it's probably a lot easier, given we've just pumped Arsenal 4-0. It's a lot easier to sort of answer that sort of question.
Look, I think what is going to be at our benefit for this match is going to be the fact that it's just the way we're hungry for the ball. And I think Pep's team is going to try and move the ball. But I think it's going to be good that we can catch them on the counter. I think that's going to be our strength this match. I think catching City on the counter will be out. Because if you look at their signings, Mendy,
counter-attack.
Yeah, Mendy doesn't know the Premier League. Could be a potential weakness in their back four. Kyle Walker, if he's playing, he's due for 3 or 4 mistakes a match anyway. And the two centre-backs make plenty of mistakes. Whether it's Stones, whether it's Otamendi, whether it's Kompany, they make mistakes. And that's what I think can benefit us. I think if we can find the weaknesses nice and early and just hold the pressure point on these kind of areas, I think we'll come through.
It's so strange to be a Liverpool supporter, because you almost look at a Manchester City game like this and you actually know you know the blueprint for how Liverpool do well in these games. You know, what do you look at from a past performance that bodes well for us? Well, you know, you look at Arsenal. We're going to be pressing high. We're going to be happy to concede possession. We're going to be picking the ball off early, off their back four, off their middle three, whoever it is, and then just trying to break with pace. Use Salah, use Mane, Firmino dropping in. It seems like that is a lot easier to envisage than, let's just say, when we will have to analyse a deep lying sort of defence. But that just seems to be the blueprint.
That's true. And I think the most important players in this match, obviously, let's just leave Mane and Salah out for a second. I think the most important players are going to be the spine, because a lot of the football that City will play might go through the middle. Because they want to find Aguero, they want to find Silva, De Bruyne, or interchanging through the middle, things like that. I think your Hendersons and your Emre Chans of the world are really, really important for this match. To track those runs, once they intercept those kind of passes or win the ball early, then it's break. You know what I mean? And that's when the other two become important. And Firmino creating his own space and the rest. But I think our midfield is the key to this match.
Personally, you know, and it's so much easier to after a 4-0 win to just say, keep it the same, lads, and, you know, the same thing, and why would you ever change it? But I'm still worried about that, the midfield three. And when you do look at it, it is sort of a triangle with Henderson at the bottom. I am worried about City's attacking midfielders getting the ball on either side of Henderson. So again, you know, when you just mentioned Emre Can, especially what Klopp did for the Manchester United game, that game at home when we played at Anfield, where he actually dragged Chan a little bit back. Even though it was a 4-3-3, a flat three, he dragged Chan a little bit back to sit with Henderson just to help with the aerial sort of threat. But even though City won't provide you with the aerial threat, it was still, let's just have two there just to sort of screen. Part of me still wants to see that because I feel like, you know, he can still break forward if need be, and then Henderson can sort of sit there. Part of me wants to still, I don't know, have that assurance, because I'm a little bit worried, because Man City will be pinging the ball around a lot better than Arsenal would. With David Silva and players like Sterling never lost the ball for us. He's suspended, is he?
Yeah.
Fuck off, Sterling, then. I don't give a shit. But their players are very... De Bruyne, they're very good at holding the ball. Yeah. They don't lose it as often as what Arsenal are going to.
No.
So, yeah, we're happy to concede possession, but this is still a good footballing side, you know?
I think we need discipline in this match. I think discipline is key for this kind of match, because the most frustrating and the most difficult part of a football match is defending. It's the most exerting part of the football match. It's defending.
It's mental anguish.
It's mentally draining. It's physically draining. But so we need to be patient. We need to be patient when we don't have the ball, because when we do, we need to make sure what we have to do is perfect to get Man City off the, you know, on the back foot, or whilst they're reshaping or resetting, we get them in between those moments. It's going to be an interesting match. I think if we walk away with a draw, I'd take it all day.
I'll take a draw. Yeah, I think at this stage of the season, using Jurgen Klopp's patience sort of mantra, draw is fine, because you know what? It's undefeated. It's even like maybe. What would you want? Would you want a scored draw or a scoreless? I'd prefer a scoreless draw, actually.
I'd take a draw because if you look at it, like in the first four games of it's been, you've faced City and Arsenal, and you've got 4 points out of a possible six. You take that. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And it's City away. If we're City at home, I'd say 3 points all day. But you know, we did that against Arsenal. Let's go City away after an international break. If we can get a draw, even after the whole Coutinho thing or whatever everyone's talking about, I'm happy with the draw. I think it's a positive result. I think it's a loss for them rather than it's for us.
Mm.
So if you're going to compare the camps, you look at the Liverpool team and the fans, we're like in this positive, high energy like moment, and everyone's like, we're happy. And we're like, yeah, bring us City. Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Give us Arsenal again. Give us, yeah, who you got next?
That's a good point.
Bring them.
I don't think City are in that.
Whereas I feel like in the City camp, it's more of a reversing Liverpool. They're in good form.
Yeah.
We don't know what kind of performance we're going to put together. Is Aguero going to play? this and that. Like, oh, we struggled against Burnley. Oh, I don't know.
Mm.
And I think that's the two camps. I think if we're going to go, you know, if we're going to go punch for punch, that's where I think we're going to win. And we've just got that belief. There is that belief about us at the moment.
Speaking of supporters, do you want to do your shout out for what's going to be happening?
Oh, yeah. So to all our Aussie listeners and our Sydney-based listeners, if you have nothing to do this weekend, head down to Cheese Bar in the city, George Street, and get there bright and early. So if it's 9:30 kickoff here in Sydney.
9:30 PM Eastern Standard Time.
Get there about 8 o'clock because it's going to be crazy. There's going to be filming. Optus Sports going to be there doing some filming on, you know, the supporter going crazy, singing, dancing. If there's dancing there, I know I'll be if I go. And they're just going to be doing a lot of prizes and giveaways and things like that. So it's going to be a really, really good atmosphere. So head down to Cheers Bar, George Street, at around 8 PM Eastern Standard Time for a really good night for 3 points against the Citizens, as they call themselves.
The Citizens. I mean, look, I've got some other information here. LFC New South Wales have Optus Sport joining in the fun, and they're giving you the chance to win your very own Google Home device and Liverpool scarf. Make sure you take a shot of yourself, Liverpool Instagram, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, I'm not sure if that's sort of specific information for LFC New South Wales supporters, but, you know, there's going to be giveaways, there's going to be prizes. Yeah, and it's also going to be a good night because hopefully Man City get pumped by the Reds.
I just want to give one more shout-out.
Go for it.
Yeah. I always give him shout-outs. I'm going to do it again anyway. Because he did just tweet us. Nads.
Yeah, Nads.
Nads. I need to give you a shout-out, my man, because I listened to your what you had to say in episode 102, and I tend to agree with you a lot more often than I don't. So there goes my phone just died. I was about to read your tweet out, so my phone just gone. But
do you want me to get it? I can get it for you. Yeah. You do your shout out, and I'll get the tweet.
Just give you a shout out, mate. I'll tell you what. If I end up coming to Liverpool in December, and we definitely need to catch up because you're very positive, you're very supporting, and to be honest, we need more people like you out there. So shout out to Nads.
Is that the one that he said to you?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one there.
So yeah,
looking forward to listening to my two favorite Greeks on Twitter.
Hey,
hoppa. So yeah, there it is. That's for you.
Yasu Nads, that's Greek for you if you want to learn some Greek. Yasu. And Opa. We said Opa. We didn't realize. Yeah. All right. Well, that's been about 50 minutes, so we might end it there. Very quick score prediction for the Man City game.
Can I give two?
Yep.
We're going to win 3-1.
Yep.
Or draw 2-2.
Okay. I reckon we're winning 3-0.
3-0?
Just quietly, we've kept like 6 clean sheets in our last, like, I don't know, 8. I don't know. There's some ridiculous some stat.
Awesome
we've
just stat. Yeah,
we've kept a lot of clean sheets. Well, if we win to nil. But you know what? We drew with them at their place last time, didn't we? Because there was that, we were up 1-0, weren't we? And then they got that pen. Is that right? Am I imagining that? But we were under the pump, or maybe we won 1-0. I don't know. I feel like it was maybe 1-1. We should have done our research on that.
I think it was a draw, you know.
Maybe it was a draw. But anyway, I reckon we win 3-0.
Lock it in.
Lock it in. Put it on sports bet. I wonder what 3-0's paying.
Oh, I'd love to say we win 2-1. 1-1 majority of the match. 81st minute, Phil Coutinho comes on. Ben's in a free kick in the 87th minute. We win 2-1.
There we go. I like that. I like that as a prediction.
And all of a sudden, everything's forgotten.
Everything's forgotten. That's been the LFC Podcasting Couch. This has been George. That's been the coach. And we will see you on the couch for the post-match festivities.
Yeah, why not?
Lovely cushion.